Well, I want to go over here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus taught people while he was here. Since he was the word of the Lord, he brought that word down to practical application in people's lives. He was the word of God. He didn't have to go to the book of Isaiah to figure out what it meant. He was the word of God. He didn't have to, though he did use some of those references to help confirm to people's minds, but he was the word. Everything he said came from the Father. He was the word of God. And so here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, I believe he was speaking, he was teaching people practical shoe leather truth. You know what I mean when I said shoe leather? What I'm talking about, things that you can put practically in our lives, in everyday life, living. And here in the 7th chapter, it says something here right at the start of it that sometimes I've tried to sort out in my mind exactly where to put this one. Judge not, that you be not judged. And I've tried to think, what was Jesus telling people? And I like to consider, I think that possibly, I don't think those people back there were a whole lot different than what we are today. I think they had a lot of same human reasoning and thinking they went through. And I see it in us as humans. It's easy for us to say, well, it's not my fault, it's theirs. They're the ones that's doing wrong. It's pretty easy, Brother Larry, to say, I see your fault. But it's pretty hard to take that mirror and look at myself. And I think probably those folks back there were kind of like us. And one of the things that Jesus taught them, don't be in the judging business. Just don't let that be. And I wonder why. I think, why? You know, Lord, isn't there wrongs out there? He said, yes, there's wrongs. There's people there's others that are wrong, legitimately wrong. But does it do much good for me to poke my finger in their face and say, you're wrong, you keep on like that there, you're going to die and go to hell? And I may have told the truth, but it probably didn't help them much. You know, you feed somebody that kind of a attitude along with the truth. What you did, you took the truth and you used it as a club. And they're not going to like it. Judge not, Jesus said. Put this shoe on for a little bit. Let's walk in this one. Treat others like you'd like to be treated. Isn't that pretty practical? It's just good. It's just good truth. That Jesus came and he said, judge not, lest you be not judged. Judge not, that ye be not judged. I know there's another verse. I'm going to read that one too. But I think of the principle that Jesus is telling people. He's saying, humble yourself through this. He's saying, humble yourself and look in the mirror yourself. He goes on and talks about a beam. We'll get there. But the principle that I think he's pointing at humans, we live next door to each other. Sometimes we sit on the same church benches together. And we're going to have a meeting coming up. And this chapel will have a lot more people than what it does here tonight. And we're going to sit next door, perhaps next bench over from people. And we don't always see alike. And the devil, if we give him room, he'll be pointing out every fault of my neighbor. And he'll skip over every one that I have. And make sure that I'm focused on you instead of me. That's a bad way to go. Oh, there's that old song. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. We're getting ready to have a meeting. And if I spend all the meeting time hearing the word and amening and say, I sure hope brother, sister, so-and-so gets this one, we're likely not going to get anything for ourselves. Because the Lord help us to come down as a little child, to humble myself down and say, Lord, give me my portion today. Help me to see me. Judge me, Lord. Judge some righteous judgment in my heart, because I'm desperate to make heaven. Folks, I can't help. I can't make you make heaven. I'm not responsible for you making heaven. As a minister, I have a responsibility to bring out the word, but I can't make you make heaven. The one I'm really responsible for is me. And you are for you. Our personal responsibility is for me, for ourselves, to get to know the Lord, to hear His voice, and to follow and say, Amen, Lord. Judge me. Let your word in all its truth. And I don't want it shaded to fit me in some way. I need your truth, and I want to conform to your truth. I don't want to conform your word to me. There's a whole lot, I think, wrapped up in this little few words. Judge not. I think Jesus was dealing with a very basic need of humanity. We have a propensity to bull up and think I'm fine and everybody else is wrong. And Jesus was saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Look at me. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Well, a lot of times I have reasons. Seem to be good reasons to say that, well, that brother or sister, they were wrong. And I can give you the scriptures to prove it. And we may. But just know, if you're going to lay that type of exactness on somebody, you're liable to have it laid back on you. I'm really glad, looking back over my life, that the Lord didn't exact immediate retribution on me for every time I didn't do things exactly right. I am glad for God's mercy. I wonder if a little bit of that mercy shines through when Jesus taught us how to pray, and He said for us to forgive those who trespass against us, as you did to us, Lord. See the attitude that Jesus was teaching. Notice how we would fit together and work together better if we would exercise loving mercy with each other and love each other enough to still be faithful in our own heart toward the Lord and look at me and, Lord, draw me nearer to you, Lord. And as I am drawn nearer to the Lord, do you know, if that happens in my heart, it will bless you and encourage and inspire you. As we do this together, and when I watch you, when I see my brother and sister, we just buried Sister Vonda McMillan up there in the LaRondra, in the Four Corners congregation. And I saw Sister Vonda go through some hard places in her life. I saw her deal, have to raise three children alone. I saw that happen. Now, I've seen her cry. And I've seen her get her victories. And I've heard her testimonies in the service. And you know what that did to me? That set a mark a little higher than what? Because in me, I could have found all kinds of reason to say, you're justified to carry bitterness. I could have. She didn't do it. Didn't do it. That challenges me. You see, she looked, instead of at the things that happened to her that she had no control over, and she could have, and probably there were times the devil pointed and said, you need to just feel horrible at this person. You need to exact revenge. Because I know that's the way the devil does, isn't it? He'll come along and try to give us all those reasons. And she likely met the devil in those places time after time. But instead of looking at all that temptation, she consciously turned away and looked up and said, "Lord, I want to be more like you." And you know what she did by doing that? She challenged a young man sitting in the pews in that chapel. And it's left a lasting effect on me. Now, we can leave a lasting effect on each other. It can either be good or it can either be bad. I can look back and see some other folks that did things I don't want to mimic because it didn't turn out very good. So Jesus teaches us very practical living. Good for how I live my life. Don't judge. He's not asking by saying that to overlook evil. That's not what he's saying here at all. He's saying, take care of your own heart. Take care of your own heart. Leave the rest to me. I'm the judge. I know where they are. I know how to work with them. Again, I emphasize, Jesus is not asking for us to accept all manner of evil. That's not what he's saying here. But he really doesn't want us to accept evil when it approaches and knocks on our heart's door. I say, "Lord, not me. I don't want to let that one in. I want to look clearly in your face." And when I begin to look up there and I start looking at your glory and all who you are, and when I see that the hardness, the bitterness of life, that the bitterness that Jesus, you could have carried in those rejections of life, and as you gave your heart and your love to people and you're rejected and beaten and spit on and crown of thorns and hung on the cross and you said, "Father, forgive." When I see that high water mark, I say, "Lord, I have no room to judge anybody else because I got a full-time job getting myself before you." My, we have a good shepherd, don't we? I'm challenged, Brother Larry. And by saying that, I'm not discouraged. I feel like it's not something we can attain to. But I can tell you, I don't think I've quite arrived. I'm going to put my name in a little bit with Brother Paul's when he said he hasn't quite attained. I'm laying my eyes upon that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to let the Lord judge me, because he does it in such sweet kindness, such truth. When we see the sweetness of our Lord, the fact that carnality didn't have a place in him. He said, "The prince of this world comes and he's not going to find anything in me." He wasn't motivated by carnality. He was motivated by love. And I believe when he looked at the Pharisee and called them, "Ye whited sepulchres, full of dead men, you hypocrites." We have a tendency in our mind put this spin on it that says, "Oh, you hypocrites, you horrible whited walls." I don't think he said it like that. I think he looked at them and he kindly, truthfully looked them in their soul and said, "You're a hypocrite." And I believe it was said in such truth and conviction and full of love that I believe they looked in the mirror of what he was saying and they said, probably they couldn't say a word because they knew what he said was right. It brought conviction in their soul. They knew inside they were nothing but dead men's bones. Now what do you do about it? You see, when the Lord reveals truth to our heart, we have the great privilege of doing something about it. Especially today, we can bring it to Christ. One of the saddest things that I find in the account of the men who brought the woman caught in the very act, one of the saddest things that I find in that story is that there was only one left at the end of that story that heard him say, "Neither do I condemn thee." There could have been every one of those men could have stayed there and could have said, "That line right there got me, Lord. Put my name on that one. Now what do I do from here? I'm absolutely convicted. That was me." I don't know what he wrote on the ground, but I think it was very revealing to every one of their hearts. And so then he gets to poor people who deal with life and deal with the propensity of wanting to blame somebody else instead of looking at me. And he just looks at us in love and he says, "Don't judge. Don't do it. It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody else. We get along a whole lot better if we look at myself." Now, if we're going to deal with in picking and finding fault and pointing fingers, you're going to find we'll be torn up into pieces. We'll bite and devour. And there's going to be something in the middle of it that we call carnality. So the flesh is not going to look like God. These words of Jesus come close. Again, I just remind us, we're getting ready to be in a meeting. And I believe the Lord's going to have something for every one of us. Yes. We'll do well to sit there with our hearts open and say, "Lord, touch me inside." Amen. Because I do want to be more like you. I'm desperate to make heaven. And I can't do it without your wonderful revealing touch in my heart. I want to. I want to live for you. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure of ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou? Again, he's carrying on with this same theme and pointing out how easy it is for us to see everybody else's fault. And not our own. Look at your brother and find all the faults in his life. And he may have some. Jesus didn't say they didn't. He said they might have a mote in their eye. And you're busy looking at that mote when you're having a hard time seeing it because you're having to peek around the beams, your own problems that are so much greater, farther lasting impact perhaps in your life. And Jesus is just saying, quit worrying about your brother. Look at yourself. Get busy pulling out the beam, the problems that you're carrying in your own pockets. Unload that, those sins that so easily beset you. Get rid of that. Ask the Lord to help you with that. And once you get that done, in doing so, in the process of letting the Lord heal that part in your life, you're likely going to help those that has a mote in their eyes and didn't even realize you helped them. Because you just served the Lord. And it was such an encouragement to them because they saw you hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They saw that and they took courage in the middle of their troubles that they were dealing with. They saw somebody else, like dear Sister Vonda, going through her troubles. And she said, a high water mark of obedience to the Lord. Help us to do that, Lord. We got brothers and sisters. We want to go to heaven together, don't we? I certainly hope we do because I want to go with you. I want to go to heaven with each one of you. And we need each other. And I was thinking, just recently, we're losing a lot of older folks. We're losing a lot of folks. I've looked at the minister's pictures back there, and folks, we need some more. I'm wanting to see some young folks in this congregation getting a hold of the Lord and allowing the Lord to establish them and strengthen them and settle them and get them in positions where they might hear the voice of the Lord, be called to ministry, whatever that might be, whether it's pulpit or whatever, but to minister unto souls. And there's many ways but the Lord calls us. Lord, help us. We need to go to heaven together. We need each other. And I need you to stay encouraged. And you need me to stay encouraged. And we need each other to fix our eyes above our troubles. Fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. And not on each other. Not in a criticizing way anyway. Maybe if we fix our eyes on each other, it should be the same way Jesus fixed his eyes on Peter when he had denied him. I believe Jesus fixed his eyes on him. And I believe those eyes that Jesus fixed on him was a full of love and reclamation. It had the right effect anyway. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He humbled himself. Lord, help us to look at each other with that same type of love. If my brother stumbles, Lord, help him to stand up. And help me to love him enough to reach over and grab his arm and say, brother, let's stand up and go on some more. Fifth verse. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beams in thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly how to cast out the mote in your brother. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Oh, there's different ways a person could take that. I don't think the Lord intended for us to be carnal in the way that we do that. I've heard some people say, we can judge somebody else as being, you're just not worthy of the gospel. You're a hard person. You're somebody that I don't think, you're not worthy of the pearls that I have or my time or my effort. You're not worthy of it. Be careful, because there's no place in a Christian walk for carnality. So what did Jesus mean? Did he mean for us to look at a brother and say, I'm not going to cast my pearls before you? Now, I believe there's a place using wisdom. I understand that. But Jesus also said, sow beside all waters, or the scriptures that tell us about sowing beside all waters. I think the Lord would have us to be willing to cast the word of God, to use it beside wherever. We don't know whether it may sprout or not, but put it out there. Love people enough to give them a taste of the pure love of God. But don't cast your pearls before swine. I like to think it a little bit like this. It's not very profitable if we find a point of contention. And we can do that. We find there's places in the scripture that maybe you might see a little different than I do, and we can make a big deal over it, and we can have contention, and we can get to the point that we drive each other into, entrench each other into carnality. Have you ever seen that happen? I believe, I'm confident I have. I'm holding the truth now. I'm going to stand for it, and I can stand for it in carnality. And I can be so hard and come up against you and argue my point. And maybe I'm a good arguer, and maybe I can almost whip you down. But careful, because I'm casting some pearls where I shouldn't cast them. I shouldn't use the gospel in all this wonderful purity. I shouldn't use it in such a fashion that put it at risk where the swines trample it. If you're doing it in carnality, you're letting the dogs and the swine step on it. Don't cast those pearls in those areas. I don't think I'm being very clear there. I'm saying this to be careful. I think it's in the vein of what Jesus is teaching here. Don't entrench your brother. Don't come and argumentatively toward your brother, because you're going to put him in a bad position. Don't use it like that. You're pushing him in an area, in a corner. The best thing to do, if you see some contention coming up, just back up and say, brother, I love you. Let's pray about it. Let's take this to the Lord in prayer. I don't think you're casting one of those pearls before the swine when you're doing that. I think that's a way the Lord intended for his pearls to be used. Lord, brother, I don't know completely here. I have my ideas, but let's go before the Lord and let's pray about this. Ask the Lord. Let's seek his face in humble, true hunger seeking. I see our time's gotten away. But when I read the words of Jesus, Oh, Jesus has a lot to teach us. Again, I'm telling you, His words walk in shoe leather. They're practical for every day, every phase of our life. Sister Clay has lived long enough, and I think she can tell you today, it's practical for her age of life. It's practical for my age of life. It's practical for Brother Larry's age. It's practical for Anthony and Misha's age of life. Delaney, it's practical for her age of life. The Word of God's good for us. It's got wonderful counsel. Oh, Lord, help us not to cast away Your counsel. Allow that Word to be effective in our life. I want to serve Him. Pray for me.